There's a wideness in God's mercy I cannot find in my own, and it keeps this fire burning to melt this heart of stone. Keeps me aching with the yearning, keeps me glad to have been caught in the restless raging fury that they call the love of God. Now I've seen no band of angels, but I've heard the soldiers' songs. Love hangs over them like a banner. Love within them leads them on to the battle, on the journey, and it's never gonna stop. Ever widening their mercies and the fury of His love.
So, Father, may your word be heard, reheard, and heard as if it's a new and fresh thing. May these messages be received for those you intend, and you be glorified according to your will, in Jesus' name. We're going to look over the letters to the Church of Ephesus and Thyatira right now. One thing to keep in mind is the seven churches are the lampstands, which is a representation of the seven-branched menorah. Ephesus comes first in the writing, and it was first in John's heart because it was the church that he spent a lot of time with in his later days. I'm going to start with that, and instead of going sequentially through, I'm going to go next to Thyatira. And the reason is Thyatira is the center branch, and there is a representation of Thyatira by the roots of Jesus. It is somewhat the most sort of Jewish of the Asian churches historically. And anyway, it is represented in the middle. And so that's the foundation and a connection to Jesus when he's shown to be and discussed being in the midst of the seven lampstands. Letters to the churches indicate a general sense of three different sorts of relationship from one church to the next with God. Five of the seven receive warnings in these letters because of their condition. Two do not. Those two we'll cover last. One is, of course, Philadelphia. So the Church of Ephesus is the one that mentions returning to your first love, and we'll start now. The angel of the church in Ephesus writes, "These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands." Of course, Jesus, "I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name, and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love which you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. The lampstand is that which the light shines from. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. The Nicolaitans were Gnostics. It took a very short period of time for the Gnostics to find a non-Judaic way to attack Christianity. And the Gnostics are seen today in the occult, in the wisdom and knowledge cults. I'm not going to name them directly. But you know who you are. And some of you may participate without realizing that God hates the Nicolaitans, the Gnostics. As I read this, I'm reminded that this warning for Ephesus does tend to reflect, in fact, three different conditions of the churches in the book, in the letters of Revelation to the churches. Tends to reflect his very first parable, the parable of the sowers, and the type of soil, the seed that the seed was sown on. John had a lot to do with Ephesus. He was a senior leader in his later days. And this letter is a call to everyone ever in Christianity, because how many people do you know have entered into the faith and then sincerely embraced it, but later became distracted by the issues of life and so on? On to Thyatira. To the angel of church in Thyatira write, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. This description is found both in the Old Testament as well as Revelation. I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely. Unless they repent of her ways, I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds. And I will repay you, each of you, according to your deeds. I want to pause in the narrative here. Remember, Thyatira is the most, it's most representative of the origin of the religion of Judah and Israel. And so in this context, Jezebel is most particularly talking about the same religion of the Pharisees that Jesus confronted from chapter 8 through chapter 10 of John is probably the best narrative, the best writing of that interaction. He called them out directly, who they worshiped, who their father was, and so on. Jezebel was a manipulating, evil, and controlling wife of Ahab. And she, and in particular, Ahab, had direct interaction with the prophet Elijah. And inside of that power, instead of observing that power and humbling themselves to it. They saw Elijah's power in relationship with God as an impediment to their own will, particularly Jezebel. While there's translated here sexual immorality, and that is important to God, the most important thing is spiritual purity, spiritual faithfulness. And literally, the Pharisees, the head of the Jewish religion, from then until this day, secretly practice an alternate God, a worship of an alternate God. They're directly related to the Gnostics and mysticism. The word cabal comes from Kabbalah, which is the Jewish name for their mysticism. They consider it wisdom. God has another opinion. So to continue, verse 24, now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to our teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, you know, those secret levels and secret insights and secret understandings. I will not impose any other burden on you, the ones who don't learn those things, except to hold on to what you have until I come. To the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. That one will rule them with an iron scepter and will dash them to pieces like pottery. Just as I have received authority from my Father, I will also give that one the morning star. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The iron scepter is Shiloh, the coming of Shiloh. You can read about it in Genesis and also Psalm 2. So these are the first two that I have chosen to read in this particular order. Ephesus gets a little bit lighter treatment with a warning than the other churches, and it is probably in a better condition because of the continued presence of John into his old age. Thyatira presents true faith as the center post of the menorah and the lampstand, and also represents Jezebel. So you can see dramatic conflict or opposing themes. I'm going to shut this off. Be blessed. Consider which church you really are, because very few of you are Philadelphia, which you would all prefer to believe. It's a warning. This is most particularly a warning to leadership. It should be judged more harshly. And the distractions of the world weigh heavily upon you.